All right, Tavos, say good morning. We're going to pick up Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the last line, Rav Ashi Amar. Tavos, say again, just to reorient ourselves, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that Eid Madlikim is Shemen Sreifa B'Yom Tov, that you may not go ahead and kindle with Shemen Sreifa on Yom Tov. So the Gemara was discussing why can't we go ahead and burn Shemen Sreifa on Yom Tov. So the Gemara explained that essentially the idea is Ein Sarfen Kadshim B'Yom Tov. The Shemen Sreifa that we're talking about over here is Shemen, oil of Truma that became Tameh. Remember, Truma is the portion of the Kohen, so if it becomes Tameh, you're obligated to burn it. So the Mishnah seems to be telling us that Halacha L'Maaseh, you may not burn Tameh Truma on Yom Tov. So the Gemara essentially the Gemara is trying to figure out why is that so. So the Gemara has given a couple of answers until now. Rav Ashi says, Shabbosom, top of Chavhei, Asei, V'havi le-Yom Tov Asei v'lo Sa'asei. So I will say, Rav Ashi suggests that Yom Tov has an Asei and a lo Sa'asei. What does that mean? It has a positive commandment and a prohibition. The positive commandment is Shabbosom, thank you, is Shabbosom, which means that actively one must maintain a sense of rest on Yom Tov, and there's a lo Sa'asei, v'lo Sa'asei k'molacha. And remember, Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos in every regard, except for the fact that on Yom Tov you are permitted to engage in the seika malacha for ochal nefesh, for what's called on the most basic level food preparation activities. But other than that, in every other regard, it's the same as Shabbos. So Rav Ashi suggests like this: Yom Tov has an element of an asei and a lo sasei, a positive commandment to go ahead and rest, and a prohibition against the performance of forbidden labor. V'havida Yom Tov asei v'lo sasei. The ein asei, and therefore the positive commandment of, now what's the positive commandment that he's referring to over here? Take a look at the top line in Rashi. The ein asei, deba'esh tisrofu. Now there's a positive commandment to what? To burn truma that became tamei. So the positive commandment, the mitzvahs asei, of burning truma tameya, cannot come and go ahead and set aside the asei and the lo sa'asei of Yom Tov. The ein asei, Docha es lo sa'asei va'asei b'yom tov. I'm sorry. Ve'in asei, docha es lo sa'asei va'asei. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, like this, it's a very simple calculation. Burning truma tameya is an asei, it's a positive commandment. You have to burn it. Yom tov, right, keeping yom tov, or abstaining from halacha of yom tov, is conveyed to us through a positive commandment and a prohibition. Therefore, says Rav Ashi, all you need to do is line them up side by side, and it's clear that the assay of burning Truma Tameya does not set aside the assay and the Losa assay of Yom Tov. So the Gemara says the following: B'Yom Tov Huda Aser, HaBichol Shapir Dami. Thank you. So the Gemara says, what comes out in this entire conversation, of course, is that we're talking about, this entire conversation presupposes that the only issue of burning Truma Tameya is an issue of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, we're taking Shabbos off the table, because obviously you can't burn it on Shabbos. But the Gemara presupposes that the only issue is Yom Tov, which of course tells us that Bechol, that to go ahead and burn Truma during the week is okay. But I will say, remember, we're not really focusing just simply on the burning of Truma. What are we focusing on? Take a look at Rashi. It's the fourth line in, the last Y line in Rashi on the top. Ha Bechol Shapir Dami, Le'is hanuye mine. Now, both say, remember, when we are talking about over here of burning truma, what we're specifically talking about over here, bless you, is burning truma and benefiting from it while burning it. So, for example, if the Kohen has truma tameya, so what is he going to do? He's going to go ahead and use the truma tameya as the fuel for his fire to cook his dinner. So he's getting benefits from burning the Truma Tameya. So the Gemara says, the whole discussion over here is that you can't go out and do this on Yom Tov, but the inference from this entire conversation seems to be that this is totally permitted. Not just to burn Truma, but to get benefit from the act of burning Truma, to get benefit from the burning during the week. So the Gemara says, my time up. What's the reason for this? I mean, how do we know this idea that you are permitted? So you're both like, here's what we know. We know that you have to go ahead and burn Truma Tameya. Okay, but remember, just because you have to burn something does not automatically mean that what? That you're permitted to get benefits from it. So the Gemara says, how do you know that when you burn Truma Tameya, you're permitted to get benefits from it? Amar Rav, so Rav says, Kishem Shemitzvah Lisrov Kakodshim Shenitmu. So Rav says, in the same way that there is a mitzvah to go ahead and burn Kodshim, right? Burn, right? Kachim refers to karbanos. Burn kachim that became tamei. Kach mitzvah lisrof esatruma shenitmes. So too, it is a mitzvah to go ahead and burn truma that has become tamei. Rashi says, mitzvah lisrof esatruma shenitmes. The dam yel kodesh va'od mishum takala. So we'll say there are two issues over here, says Rashi. Number one, the fact that there is a connection, we'll discuss this in greater depth in just a little bit, the fact that there is a connection between truma and kachim, truma and karbanos, tells us that just as if you have a karban that has become invalidated, it's come tamei, you burn the karban, so too you burn truma tamei. Not only that, but Rashi adds in an additional point. There's another reason why you should burn it, which is why? Because the longer you keep it around, the higher the probability that's what? That you may come to inadvertently eat it. Or use it. So burning it is kind of the same idea that we have by chametz, right? That even though technically speaking, we know that you could go ahead and get rid of your chametz by just making it hefker and it's not yours, we still do be your chametz because you don't want to have any problems by keeping it around. The Amr Torah.
Is this only by the Kohen? So only a Kohen is allowed to eat truma. His family is allowed to eat truma, but
correct.
Not anybody else.
Correct.
So is anybody else allowed to benefit from?
No, no. He's always talking about Kohanim getting benefit from burning truma. The Amr Torah. The Torah said. Bishas biura tehena mimeno. And the Torah says that once you're burning it, or at the time that you're burning it, you're permitted to get benefits from it. So the Gemara says, Heichan amra Torah, where exactly does the Torah say that? So the Gemara says, Midir Rav Nachman. So the Gemara learns that from the Midir Rav Nachman. What Rav Nachman? Say the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbe Baradua, Amar Kra, Va'ani, Hine Nasati Lecha, as mishmeres churumosai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron HaKohen that I have given you literally mishmeres churumosai, I have given you mishmeres, the guarded covenants of my trumos, plural, b'shtei trumos hakos of medaber. The Torah purposely phrases it in the Bolt and tells us it's talking about two different trumos, achos truma tahora, the achos truma tameya. One is talking about truma tahora, right? Tahor truma, and one is talking about truma tameya. Va'amar Rachman, the Torah tells us shelchotehe lahasika tachas tavshilecha. So also, here's what's interesting. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Aaron HaKohen that I've given you two trumos. One refers to truma tahora, one refers to truma tameya. Now you understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Kohen truma tahora. That's for consumption. But how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly give the Kohen truma tameya? Right? After all, the Kohen can't eat truma tameya. So the answer is through hasaka. That ultimately, when you destroy it, which you're obligated to do, you are permitted to go ahead and derive benefit through that act of destruction by using that burning truma as a way of fueling your fire. That's answer number one. Answer number one. Vibai sema. Another possibility is midrav yavo. What did Rabbi Avo say? The Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'lo bi'arti mimenu b'tamei. So we'll say here, Rabbi Yochanan is talking from the what we call vidui ma'aser, specifically referring over here to ma'aser sheni. Ma'aser sheni. So remember, ma'aser sheni is one of those interesting tithes where, as opposed to all the other shemas and ma'asers, where generally what you're doing with the children of ma'aser is giving it to someone else, ma'aser sheni is yours to keep, with the only caveat that you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So the Torah says that when speaking about the fact that you've gone ahead and taken care of all of your ma'aser sheni, it says v'lo bi'arti mimenu b'tamei. Now this is an interesting lashon. Lo bi'arti mimenu. Normally the word bi'arti usually means destroyed. In this context, it actually means consumed. I did not consume the ma'aser sheni in a state, bless you, in a state of tuma, in a state of tuma. So the Gemara says mimenu. It's only ma'aser sheni that you may not consume or get benefits from in a state of tuma. Aval atam mavir shemen shel truma shenitmes. So the Gemara makes an interesting deal over here. Velo bi'arti mimenu b'tamei. It's only ma'aser sheni that I cannot consume while either it or I is tamei. But the Gemara wants to learn, or Yochanan wants to learn out. But shemen shel truma mavir betuma, quite literally. But if I have shemen shel truma shenitmes that has become tamei, I could burn it. Well, actually, I have to burn it. And what? I am permitted to derive benefit through that act of burning. So the Gemara says, one second. Ve'ema mimenu I atom mavir, aval atom mavir shemen shel kodesh shenitma. So the Gemara asks a very interesting idea. See, here's what happened in this drasha. So Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, here's what we know for sure, Rabbosai. The Torah tells us that you cannot go ahead and benefit from Ma'aser Sheni, either if your tummy or the Ma'aser Sheni's tummy. Right? So the Torah goes out of its way to go ahead and use a very specific word of mimenu. Now, v'lo ba'arti mimenu b'tamei. So what does that come to teach us? That whatever the law is by Ma'aser Sheni, it's what? It's not the law in other cases. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, so what is it? What is Ma'aser Sheni? Let's try that again. What is Ma'aser Sheni coming to exclude? Ma'aser Sheni is coming to exclude a case of Truma Tameya. Right? That if you have Truma Tameya, when you burn it, you're permitted to get benefit from it. So the Gemara says, one second. How do you know it's coming to exclude Ma'aser Truma Tameya? Maybe, says the Gemara, it's coming along to say the following. Maybe what the Pasuk is saying is like this. When you have Ma'aser Sheni, either if it's tummy or your tummy, you can't consume it. Aval atam mavir shemen shel kodesh shenitma. Maybe halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara, what Torah is actually coming to exclude is what? Sacrificial oil. Sacrificial oil. I'm also saying, why would you have sacrificial oil? So remember, you could have oil that's, let's say, part of a carbon mincha, right? That's called kodesh. That's called sacrificial oil. So maybe what the Torah is coming to tell you is like this, that it's only Ma'aser Sheni, that either if it's tummy or your tummy, you may not get benefit from it, but what? But if you have oil of carbonos, let's say that has become tummy, when you destroy that oil, when you burn that oil, you're permitted to get the benefit in the act of destroying the oil. So the Gemara is asking, why do you automatically assume that it's coming to permit benefit from the destruction of truma? Maybe it's coming to permit benefit from the destruction of carbonos, of sacrificial items. So the Gemara says, no. Lav kal v'chomer, that can't be. The Gemara says, "V'la kavachomeru, ma meiser hakal, amra Torah lo bi'arti mimenu b'tame, kodesh chomer l'kol shekein." So the Gemara says, "No, can't be referring to karbonos. Why? Because Rav Osai, if halacha l'maisa meiser sheni, which out of all the different items is considered to be the most lenient, right? The most lenient is the wrong word. Kal doesn't mean it has the least sanctity and stringency. Good. It has the least amount of sanctity and stringency. We'll make shalom over here. Right? Sanctity and stringency. So if when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni, which has the least amount of sanctity and stringency, and yet what? If it's tummy, you can't get benefits from it. Then of course, kal v'chomer, karbanos. Right? Kodshim, which has the greatest amount of sanctity, you're not going to be able to get benefit from it. If it's tummy, now you have to destroy it. So the Gemara says, but one second, Ihachi Trumanami, right? If that's the case, Rav Osai, then Truma shouldn't be permitted either. Why? Because although Truma is more kal than kodshin, but it's more what? It's more chomer than Ma'aser Sheni, right? So if you're going to tell me then that if Ma'aser Sheni hakal, if Ma'aser Sheni, which has less stringency and sanctity, when it becomes tummy, you can't get benefits from it. So all the more so Truma, which has greater sanctity than Ma'aser Sheni, when it becomes tummy, you destroy it, you shouldn't be able to get benefit from the act, you shouldn't be able to get benefit by burning the Truma. So the Gemara says, Yachi Truma Nami, Lema Kavachomeru. So the Gemara says, no. Haksiv Mimenu. No, because remember, the pasuk by Ma'aser Sheni says what? V'lo bi'arti mimenu b'tameh, which tells us that, what is the pasuk coming to tell us? That this stringency that applies to Ma'aser Sheni, that you may not get benefit from it when it's tameh, is not true by something else. So what's the something else that the Torah is referring to? Truma. And therefore we see from here that halacha l'maisa, you can get benefit when burning tameh truma. So the Gemara wants to say, Marois. But where do you get that from, says the Gemara? Here's what we agree on. We agree, well, we don't have to agree, it doesn't matter if we agree or not, it's true, right? The Torah says you can't get benefit from the Ma'aser Sheni that's tummy. And the Torah is also telling us that Mimenu is coming to exclude something else that you can get benefits from when you are destroying it. That when you burn it, you can get benefit from. So it's always referring to Truma. All the Gemara says is, how do you know that? How do you know that? So we know what the halacha is on Ma'aser Sheni. We know that the Torah is coming to tell us that whatever's true on Ma'aser Sheni is not true by something else. The Gemara has chosen to fill that something else slot with Truma. But the Gemara says, why do you say Truma? Ma ro'is means, what do you see that tells you that it's Truma and not Kodshim? So the Gemara says, tell you very simple. Mistabra. I'll tell you something. It's very important to be mislahiv about this a little bit, to get a little bit excited about these Gemaras. You know why? Because the truth is, it's the same way. When we go ahead and we say karbanos in the morning, it's a kiyum of neshama parim sfasenu, right? When you say karbanos in the morning, it's like a partial hakrav of the karbanos. When you learn these sugyas, even though for us it's not yet halacha l'maisa, you have to be mitlahib, just a little bit, because it gives us a shtickle kiyum in having a beis hamikdash. So the Gemara says, umarois, mistabra kodesh l'matino. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. It's for sure not coming to include kodesh. Meaning, let me tell you why mimenu can't be coming to exclude kodesh, which would tell you then, let me say it differently. Let me tell you why it can't be referring to kodesh, that when you destroy kodesh, you should be permitted to get benefit from the fire that you're destroying the kodesh. And for a simple reason, shekein penak akas. Enough said. Right? Penak akas. What does it mean? It was like, this refers to the six things that represents the six stringencies of kodshim. Of kachim, of sacrificial items. What are the six stringencies? That, you know, sometimes the Gemara gives you these mnemonics, and the Gemara doesn't explain it. It's beautiful here. This is not much like a bonus. The Gemara actually tells us what the words are. So pei is pigel. So Rashi over here points out, Rashi goes through all of these as well. So pigel, we know, is that halacha l'maisa, if during any part of the avodah, the four major parts of the avodah, if a Kohen has in mind that he's going to go ahead and partake of the carbon outside of the prescribed time. So every carbon has a particular window of consumption. If the Kohen has in mind that he's going to partake of it outside of the prescribed time, even if he doesn't end up doing it, that machshava, that thought, invalidates the carbon. That's pigel. Nosar, of course, refers to the fact that if you leave over the carbon after the permitted window of edibility, then ultimately it becomes prohibited. Carbon. So carbon, interestingly enough, means that the item is known as a carbon. Being designated as a carbon brings with it certain stringencies as well. We'll see that more in tomorrow's daf. Mi'ila. Mi'ila means what? That halacha l'maisa, it's subject to the laws of mi'ila. Right? That if you go ahead and you engage in mundane use, or you use the item in a mundane fashion, there are certain penalties involved. Koris. Now if you take a look over here, Rashi says koris. He says la ochla betumas aguf, right? Halacha l'maisa, if you go ahead and you eat karbanos intentionally, and you are tamei, there is a punishment of karis. Now, also, you're going to see over here that what karis means in this context is twofold. Number one, that a person dies early, and number two, the curse or the punishment of childlessness. Now, childlessness means, you're going to see why this is important in just a little bit. What it means over here is that either a person won't be zocher to have children, or chas v'shalom, a person's children will predecease them. That's how the Gemara understands. I'm telling you this definition because it's going to be important as we go on. So that's karis. Va'asra la'onein. And furthermore, an onein is not permitted to go ahead, and Rashi just points out over here, by the way, utruma misa bidei shamayim. Yamav niktsarim ava ino holich ariri. So let's say, as opposed to truma, so by karbanos you get kares, if you eat it intentionally in a state of tuma, but let's say by truma, if you ate truma while you were tummy intentionally, you would get nisa bidei shamayim. You know, we often use kares and nisa bidei shamayim interchangeably, but death at the hands of heaven and kares are two different things. Kares, again, has the twofold punishment of early death and childlessness. Nisa bidei shamayim only carries with it yamav niktsarim, only early death, but it does not affect one's children or one's ability to have children. So that, and asr la'onin, look at the next batch, asr la'onin, actually we don't have to, so onin, remember, refers to over here, a technical onin of someone who is in the state of between death and burial. So if one lost one of the seven relatives for whom one is obligated to mourn, the period between death and burial, one is called an onin. From a biblical perspective, onin might also be called someone on the first day of Shiva, right? That first day where the burial took place might also be called an onin. But the point is, an onin is not permitted to go ahead and eat karbanos. Interestingly enough, you know, this was the whole machlokes between Moshe and Aaron, right? In Parsha Shmini, after the death of Nadav and Avihu, Moshe Rabbeinu felt that the din of aninos should not apply to the Kohen Gadol, and Aaron felt that it should. Okay, so therefore the Gemara says, there's a simple, so now let's bring this all the way back. So what the Gemara is saying is like this, I'm going to tell you why the word mimenu can't come to exclude karbanos. Now, when we say exclude, what that means is, I'll tell you why the pasuk can't mean that when meiser sheni, when you destroy it, you can't get benefit, or you can't eat it, you can't get benefit from a state of tumah, but it's only mimenu. But maybe by karbanos, if you have, let's say, destroy a karban that is tame, that you should be able to get benefit from the fire. So Gemara says, I'll tell you why that can't be true. Because look at the six stringencies associated with karbanos. If you have all of these stringencies, then logic would dictate what? That if you have to destroy that carbon because it's become tame, that you should not be able to what? Derive any benefit from the act of destruction. Derive any benefit from the fire in which you are destroying the carbon. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, adirava, truma lo mematina, shekein machpas. So the Gemara says, but one second, if you're telling me that the reason why we'll exclude karbanos from the mimenu, kosher from the mimenu, is because of all the stringencies, well, I have news for you. What about the fact that truma also carries its own stringencies? So I'll say, remember what the Gemara is trying to suggest now, is that the mimenu of Meiser Sheni is coming to exclude truma tzemeya, and to tell you that unlike Meiser Sheni, which you can't get any benefits from if you or the Meiser Sheni is tamei, when it comes to truma tzemeya that you have to burn, you're permitted to get benefits from that fire. You could cook dinner on top of that fire. But the Gemara says, why? Truma also has its own stringencies. What are the stringencies of truma? Machpaz. What's machpaz? Misa, right, number one, that Aloch Lamais Rashi says, Misa v'deishan l'zara ochla o kohen tameh, that you get death at the hands of heaven. If either A, you eat it and you're a kohen and you eat it in your tummy, or if you're a non-kohen who eats shuma, that's not yours to eat. Next, Chomesh means, remember, if you accidentally eat it. Not only do you have to pay back the principal, but what? You have to pay an additional fifth penalty on the base. The Ein Lapidjon. Interestingly enough, you can't redeem truma. You can't redeem truma. So as I look at the top Rashi, Ve'ein Lapidyon Rashi says, Lohotzia L'chulin. Now remember, when would you want to redeem something? Redemption normally means that you take the sanctity of a particular item and you transfer that sanctity onto something else. You can't redeem truma. So if you're a Kohen, Kohanim, listen carefully. If you are a Kohen and you get truma, you can't transfer that sanctity. That's it. But look at Rashi. Aval Kodesh, Yesh Kodesh Shenifta Kegon Shehumam Lefnei Shechita. But let's say by Karbanos, you do have a concept of pidgin. Right, for example, if you have an animal that was set aside for a karban, and let's say the animal developed a mum, you could redeem that animal and transfer its sanctity onto something else. So the asur lazarin, non-kohanin can't eat truma, right? The Bosse, no matter how good that truma looks, don't touch it, it's not worth it. Not just because of the calories. I'm saying because of the spiritual baggage that comes with it. Asur lazarin. So the point the Gemara is making is, you're telling me that there's no way that mimenu could come to exclude kachim, because kachim has all of these stringencies. So the Gemara says, guess what? So does truma. To which the Gemara says, but, number one, hanach nefishin. All right, if you want to be technical, Alosai, kachim has penak akas, as opposed to truma, which only has machpaz. So you'll go ahead and you'll do your math, and you'll see that kachim has six stringencies, and truma has five stringencies. So if you want to be technical, you could taina that you see that karbanos is even more chumer than truma. So I'll say, using that logic, so let's remember, we want to keep the cohesion of this argument together. So therefore, here's what we know. According to this logic, then, if the Torah says, v'lo bi'arti mimenu b'tameh, that it's only right that when it comes to Meiser Sheni, I have not gotten any benefit from this Meiser Sheni, if I or the Meiser Sheni is tameh, the mimenu comes to exclude something, to tell us that there's something else, that if it becomes tameh and you have to destroy it, then what? Then you can get benefits, right? Remember, the mimenu comes to... I'm going to take away the muffins. I'm going to take away the guys on the track together. Right? So now remember, Meiser Sheni teaches us that there's... Meiser Sheni is an item where either the item itself or the person becomes tameh, you can't get any benefits from it. The mimenu comes to tell us that that's only a din by Meiser Sheni, that there's something else where if it becomes tameh and you have to destroy it, you may get benefits from the item while you are destroying it. We are trying to figure out what is that item? So the Gemara wants to suggest it must be truma, because it can't be kachim. Why? Because kachim is too chomer. because kachim is too stringent. And it must be that by kachim, by sacrificial items, if it's tameh and you have to destroy it, you can't get benefit from it. The Gemara says, but truma also has stringencies, to which the Gemara says, simple answer is what? Kachim has more. Kachim has more. So then, again, we know one thing. The item that's going to be excluded from Imenu is either truma or kachim. So we put them side by side. The Gemara says, because kachim has 6 stringencies, and Truma has 5 stringencies, it must be that the Mimenu of Ma'aser Sheni must be coming to exclude Truma. Kachim is too chamer. See, when you destroy Kachim, you can't get any benefits from it. You can't get benefit from it. But Truma, which has a little bit, one less restriction, when you destroy Truma Tzemeya, you can get benefits from it. B'bai, same another possibility is, Kodesh Chamer. The other possibility is, you know why? Because the truth is, Karbanos has an off the charts stringency. What's the off the charts stringency? Shekein anush kares. See, Rabbi say, once you are subject to kares, you're already out of the parasha. So the Gemara says, therefore, Mimenu could only come to be what? To include Shuma Tmeya and not Karbanos. L'nachir by Yitzchak Amar Kra Titein Lo. So interestingly enough, the Gemara Nachar by Yitzchak says this from a different varaya. The Torah says the following. The Torah says, by Truma, titein lo. You should give it to the Kohen. Lo, velo lioro. So the Gemara darshins to the Kohen and not to his fire. What does the Rabbo say? That you are not permitted to go ahead and give Truma Tameya to the Kohen as his Truma portion. I mean, let's say I have certain produce that became Tameh. I say, you know what, I can't use it anyway. I might as well give it to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, the Gemara Darshan's no. When the Torah says titein lo, that you have to give it to the Kohen, what does it mean? Lo, velo lio ro. It has to be something that is usable by the Kohen and not just usable by his fire. But what's the inference from that, says the Gemara? Michlal, de bas orohu. What's the inference from that? Is that it's usable even in his fire. The idea that the Torah is saying is, don't just give him something that is usable for his fire, give him what? Saying it's usable for himself. But the inference from that statement is, that if he did have Truma Tameya, he what? He would be able to run. So we'll say, to bring this full circle, remember how this whole all started, right? Good. Hey, right, meet me here. All right. Okay, I would expect this at 6 o'clock in the morning, not at 8:30. So remember how this all started. The Mishnah told us that you can't burn Shemen Sreifa on Yom Tov, right? So we saw our 4 different answers as to why you can't burn it on Yom Tov. This leads the Gemara to say, but what comes out from all of this, which is not related to our Mishnah, is that what? During the week, you can burn Truma Tameya, and you can get benefits from it. So the Gemara just says, how do we know that? How do we know that? So the Gemara gives a couple of answers. So finally we get to the answer. Oh, you know what? We actually learned it out from Ma'aser Sheni. What does it say in Ma'aser Sheni? V'lo bi'arti mimenu. I did not go ahead and betameh. I did not get benefit from it while either it or I was tameh. So the Gemara says, you see, it's Ma'aser Sheni that you can't get benefit from it when the item is tameh. But Mimenu comes to say that there's another item that even if it is Tameh, you may get benefit from it. What is that other item? We'll skip all the intersteps. The Gemara actually comes to the conclusion, it's Truma that became Tameya. It's Truma that became Tameya. And ultimately, we exclude Kachim. It can't possibly be a sacrificial item that became Tameh, either because it has a din of Kares as one of its aspects, or because it has 6 stringencies as opposed to Kachim, which only have 5, but leads us to the conclusion. So essentially, again, the way we learn out that Truma Tameya, you're permitted to get the benefit from it, is because it's excluded from the Pasuk. It's learned out from the exclusion of Ma'aser Sheni, or according to Rav Nachman, Titein Lo. Lo below the Oro. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say, make sure to give the coin so it's usable for him, and not just usable but to his fire, indicates to us that it is in fact usable for his fire, which tells us that even Shuma Tzimea, the coin is permitted to get benefit from it as he burns it.
In those steps, did we see something about a Halkal Homer that Mimenu can't imply both Kodesh and
Shuma? Because Mimenu is, whenever you have an exclusion, usually comes to exclude one thing, an item, a concept, not concepts. All right. So says the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. So Rabbi Shmuel, again, if you remember, going back to the Mishnah. So Rabbi Shmuel said, "Ein madlikin beitron mipnei kavod haShabbos." right? You can't light with Itron. So remember, Itron was the psoles of the Rashi says psulta de zifda. It's the leftover of pitch, right? The pitch of zephas. So the Gemara says like this: my timer, why not? Why can't you use Itron? So the Gemara says, Amarava mitoch sharecho ra gzira shema yanichena v'yetze. So Rava said, because it has a bad odor, there's a concern that what's going to happen, that a person will go ahead and light it, and because of the odor, they'll leave the room. Rashi says, V8se. Right, Rashi, don't get to that. So Amale Abaye, V8se. So Abaye says, who cares? So what, go out. I mean, what does it really matter to us where you stay or where you don't stay? So the Gemara says, no. Amale Sha'ani Omer, Hadlokas Ner Bishabis Chova. So therefore the Gemara says like this. So Rava says back to Abaye, because I hold that candle lighting a candle on Shabbos is a chova, is an obligation. Now what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Chova, kavod Shabbos. Now when he says obligation, what he means is that lighting candles is how we fulfill the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos, of honoring the Shabbos. She'ein su'uda chashuva ela b'makom or. Because a su'uda is only chashiv in a place that's illuminated ke'en yamama, like the daytime. So Rava says it's very important. So Rava therefore comes along and says that halacha l'maisa, the mitzvah of hadlokas ner Shabbos, you know it's a d'rabbanon, but according to Rava, the mitzvah of ner Shabbos is how we fulfill the mitzvah of kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos means we honor the Shabbos. Honoring the Shabbos really, remember there are two mitzvahs when it comes to Shabbos, it's kavod and oneg. So kavod refers to the objective displays of honor versus oneg, which refers to the physical enjoyment of Shabbos. So they were suggesting over here that lighting candles on Shabbos is kavod Shabbos, because a meal is only considered to be chashiv if it's in a place that's illuminated. You know, I guess things change a little bit. You know, today when you go to a chashiv meal, usually the ambiance is they dim the lights. I guess that like in times of the Gemara again, the chashiv. I guess because people more often were sitting in dimly lit rooms than not. So the chashivas was when you had a room that was mamish illuminated. Illuminated. That's kavod Shabbos. So therefore, Rava says this is why Rabbi Shmuel holds we don't want you using the zephas. Therefore, we don't want you using something that smells bad, because if it smells bad and you're going to leave the room, you're going to defeat the purpose. The whole purpose is kindle the candles, illuminate the room, so as to make the su'uda of Shabbos more chashiv. The Amar Rav Nachman bar Zavdava, Amri the Amar Rav Nachman bar Rava, Amar Rav hadlokas ner Shabbos chova. Because as Rav said, the kindling of the ner of Shabbos is chova, is obligatory. I will say obligatory doesn't mean daraisa. Obligatory still means d'rabbanon, but it's midrabbanon in order to ensure that you amplify, that you have the best possible Shabbos su'udah experience. V'chitzas yedayim v'raglayim v'chamin arvis rishus. But interestingly enough, washing your hands and feet in warm water on erev Shabbos is optional. V'ani omer mitzvah. But the Rav said, I believe it's a mitzvah. Right? It's a mitzvah to wash with this. I'm sorry. Obligatory versus something good to do. So v'ani omer mitzvah. So the Gemara says, my mitzvah. So first of all, what does that mean, and where do you get this from? Right? Where is this idea of washing oneself with warm water on Erev Shabbos? This is actually, Rosa, I think, is one of the most beautiful, beautiful Gemaras. If you can imagine this scene, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Kach Hayom in Hago Shor Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloy. This was the minhag of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloy. What did he do? Erev Shabbos. Mevian lo areva melea chamin, v'rochet panav yadav v'raklov. On Erev Shabbos, they would bring him a bowl filled with warm water, and he would wash he would wash his face, his hands, and his feet. Umisatev, he would wrap himself, v'yoshev b'sadinin hamitzuyotzin. And apparently he had these sadin mitzvahs that literally means cloaks or sheets with tzitzis. Rashi says over here, b'sadinim hamitzuyotzin, sadinim shal pishtan, these were linen or flax cloaks, right? Right? Linen or flax cloaks. Ubahen, pishtan is literally flax. Right, but you're gonna see why. You're gonna see why I translated linen in just a moment. Ubahen tzitzis shalkeila. Right, ubahen tzitzis shalkeilas. So what the before we get to the tzitzis in just a moment, we'll finish the brayza. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Vilayi would wash himself, wrap himself in his special clothes, special sheets, his special cloaks for Shabbos that had tzitzis on it. V'doma lemalach Hashem tzivakos, and he looked like a malach. He looked like a malach. Such a beautiful image. Prepare. So he said, the point, so say, before we get to the tzitzis piece, which is going to be important for just a moment, but the point that Gemara is making over here is, had Rabbi Yehuda Bar Vilayi go and prepare for Shabbos, he washed himself with warm water. So Rav says, you see from here, that washing oneself with warm water is a mitzvah. It's not a chol. It's not obligatory. But you clearly see that it's a beautiful way to prepare oneself for Shabbos. So we'll say, now let's talk about the tzitzis for just a moment. So interesting enough, Rashi points out over here that the interesting part about this tzitzis is, remember, if he's wearing a linen or a flax garment and he's putting wool tzitzis on it, so what is that? That's shatness. That's shatness. So look at Rashi. This adina mitziyotzin. So why wasn't it a problem? So the Gemara says kilayim. So obviously this was shatness. Elish, I'm reading Rashi b'sadina mitziyotzin. Elish shemuta min haTorah didarshinan smuchin lo silbash shatness ugedilim taselacha. So also interestingly enough, there's a juxtaposition in the Torah between the mitzvah of tzitzis and, I should say, the isser of shatness and the mitzvah of tzitzis. The Torah says lo silbash shatness. Can't wear shatnez, and right afterwards it says gedilin tasoch, that make for yourself tzitzis. So what do we learn? So what is the Gemara dash from that juxtaposition? That you see that tzitzis are not subject to the rules of shatnez. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Vilayi, yes, would wear this beautiful linen or flax garment, and he would put woolen tzitzis on it, and it wasn't a problem because there's no shatnez of tzitzis. But interestingly enough, look how the story ends. However, v'hayu tamidin nechavin mimeno kanfei ksusan. So interestingly enough, apparently, the students would also go ahead and change for Shabbos. They would put on also linen garments, but they would hide their corners of their garments from their Rebbe. Why? Rashi says, Shahayu lahem sadinan she'enan mitzuyatzin. Because they would not put tzitzis on the corners of their garments. Why? Because, well, we'll see why in just a moment. But apparently, they were not sold on the shatnez argument. Therefore, they would not put tzitzis on the corners of their garment because it would be shatnez. But they didn't want to show the Rebbe directly that they weren't following what he was doing. So they would hide their corners. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, see, I must say, everybody's always firmer than the, right, than the Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Amar lahen, b'nai, b'nai. Lo kachshan isilochem. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Vilayi, he picked up on this, and he said, my sons, have I not taught you sudden betzitzis, when it comes to putting tzitzis, woolen tzitzis, on a linen garment, beishamai potrin, beishamai says your potter, right, because beishamai's logic is, look at Rashi, beishamai potrin, la'ata gav de tzitzis chovu b'chol talisos shi'esho lo'odam, afilu munochem b'kufsa. So you also say, here's what's interesting, is that beishamai is on record as actually having an interesting stringency. Beis Shammai holds that you're supposed to put tzitzis on every garment, even one that you're not wearing. Meaning, according to Beis Shammai, if you have a four-cornered garment and it's sitting in your drawer, you still have to put tzitzis. We don't pass that, but Beis Shammai holds this. Even Beis Shammai holds that you have to put tzitzis on four-cornered garments, even if you're not wearing them. Nevertheless, hani de pishtan p'turin mishum de kilayim lo sharach mar de lo darshi smuchin. Beis Shammai, Rabosai, remember, one of the exegetical principles we have in the Torah is called smuchin. Smuchin means that juxtapositions are not haphazard. When the Torah places two things next to each other, it's for a reason. Beis Shammai doesn't hold to that principle. Beis Shammai is not dorish smuchin. Therefore, Beis Shammai says it's very nice that the prohibition of shatnez is right next to tzitzis, but what do we learn from it? Absolutely nothing. And therefore, it says Beis Shammai, the prohibition of shatnez still applies to tzitzis, and therefore, if you have a linen garment, you may not put woolen tzitzis on it. So the Gemara says, Beis Shammai potrin, or Beis Silla mechayvin. Beis Silla says, you're chayiv. Why? Because Beis Silla, as Rashi says, darshi smuchin. Beis Silla darshins juxtapositions. And therefore, if these two concepts are next to each other, it's not haphazard. So it's telling you that although the Isra of Shatnez applies in all other situations, it does not apply with tzitzis. V'alocha kidivrei Beis Silla. And Rabbi Yehuda Bar Vilayi says, my dear Talmidim, my from students, have I not told you so many times that the halacha follows Beis Hillel, puts tzitzis on your garments? So why didn't the students do it? So remember, obviously the students weren't trying to disrespect the Rabbi, so why didn't they do this? It's actually interesting. Ve'in hu savri, the students felt, gzeira mishum ksus layla. that what they were concerned about is of a gzera because of nighttime garments. What are they going to be? So take a look at Rashi. The inhu savri, talmid of shahayu osrin savar, nihita halacha kabesila v'chayavim midoraisa, mihu rabbanan gazrim mshum kisus layla, shem yehelo kisus shem yuchad lelelos, v'yatil bo tzitzis, v'nimtsa lovish kalayim shalom makom mitzvah. V'ksus layla lo mechayiv b'tzitzis, v'ksit uri'isem osas. What's that? Listen to this. So the students had a different concern. What was the concern? That if we allow you to put woolen tzitzis on a linen garment, what could happen? You may end up putting tzitzis. Let's work backwards. The halacha is that it's only a ksus yom. It's only a garment worn during the day, right? Only a garment that's chayiv in tzitzis. How do we know this? Because Torah says uri'isem also. You have to be able to see. You have to be able to see the tzitzis. So therefore, the obligation of tzitzis. So if you have four-cornered pajamas, heck, you're not obligated to put tzitzis on that. What the Talmidim were concerned about was the following: that if we allow you to go ahead and put woolen tzitzis on a linen garment, you may end up doing what? Just inadvertently putting it on a nighttime garment as well. What's going to be the problem? That's mamish shatnez. Why? Because the only time that there's a dispensation with the woolen linen mixture is when you're fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. But if you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, then that's called shatnez. And at night, if you had a nighttime garment that you put woolen tzitzis on, then halach l'maisa, that's called shatnez. And therefore, halach l'maisa, you would be in violation. Therefore, the students were concerned that if we allow you to do this with a daytime garment, you may come to go ahead and do this with a nighttime garment as well and violate the Isidore Isa.
Or have it if you kept the daytime garment until overnight?
That's fine. Because the way we pass it is, once it's a daytime garment, it's governed by the laws of daytime. Right? It doesn't switch at nightfall. What we're concerned about is the nighttime garment, that would be a greater problem. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that halacha l'maisa, the students had this additional fear that apparently the Rebbe didn't have, and therefore halacha l'maisa, they didn't put tzitzis on the cord. Right?
But then they're over on the aseh.
I'm sorry?
But then they're potentially over on an aseh.
They're potentially over on an aseh. According to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel.
If I were to ask you, today, you
would
probably tell me
you
cut the corner off so it's not.
Correct. Now, why? The Gemara doesn't follow the rest of the length in terms of why didn't they just round off a corner of the garment. I don't know. All right, it says the Gemara, Vayter. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi. Nafshi sitova. So, Rabbi, here the Gemara says something very interesting. So, here the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Eicha. So, the Pasuk literally means, Vatiznach mishalom nafshi. My soul despaired of having peace. Nashisi tova. I have forgotten goodness. So Yirmiyahu obviously is the prophet of destruction. Right? So he's talking about over here the incredible state of Churban. The incredible state of Churban. In the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. To the point again, my soul despaired of having peace. Nashisi tova. I have forgotten goodness. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? My batiznach mishalom nafshi. What does it mean my soul has despaired of having peace? Amr Rabbi Avohu, Zu Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. That refers to Shabbos candles. What does that mean? Take a look at this, Rabbi Avohu. This is quite amazing. Rashi Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, Shalo Hayolomi Madla Hadlik. So what Yirmiyahu HaNavi is lamenting is that the state of destruction in the aftermath of the Beis HaMikdash was so intense that they did not even have enough oil or candles to light Shabbos candles. To light Shabbos candles. And Rashi says, Shalo Hayolomi Madla Hadlik, Obimakom she'ein ner, ein shalom. And remember, as we've seen, where there is no ner, where there is Yerbo Sayyamar, what I'll point out, the Gemara over here talked about the idea that the essence of Ner Shabbos was because of Kavod Shabbos. But remember, again, the middle of last week, we saw in the Sugi of Chanukah, remember, if you have a choice between Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, you only have enough resources for one, which one do you go with? Ner Shabbos. Why? Because Shalom Bayis Odiv. So there, the Gemara spoke about the idea that the reason we light Neros is because of Shalom Bayis. Is because of Shalom Bayis. So I'm about to say, the truth is they're both right. Right? Both reasons apply. Shalom Bayis, by the way, tells you that on Shabbos you have an obligation to illuminate any area that you're going to need. Kavod Shabbos teaches you that you definitely have to illuminate the area where you're eating your meal. So they're just two parts of the same general concept. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that when Yirmiyahu says, Vatiznach mishalom nafshi, that ultimately my soul despaired of having peace, what he's saying is, you know, I have no peace, I don't even have Ner Shabbos. I don't even have enough Neir Shabbos. When there's no Neir Shabbos, there's darkness. And when there's darkness, there's a profound absence of Shalom Bayis. Not because of any deeper idea, but because people are bumping into everything. When there's no light, there's no true tranquility in the home. Nashisi Tova, what does it mean? I have forgotten goodness. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Zubeis HaMerchatz. This refers to the bathhouse, meaning that there's a certain feeling of good that comes about as an ability to keep up one's personal hygiene. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi is saying in the aftermath of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, I don't have this piece of the Shabbos candles, and I don't even have the good of being able to wash myself. Others say that what it refers to is the washing of one's hands and feet in warm water. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says that what is this Nashisi Tova? What is this good that has been forgotten? Amar Zu Mita Noa Bekelim Noim Sha'aleha. It refers to a clean bed and clean pajamas, you know, clean night clothes. Rabbi Abba Omar Zu Mita Mutzas. This refers to a made bed. The Isham Nikushetes, and a wife who is able to adorn herself, the Talmidei Chachamim, for a husband who is a Talmid Chacham. So I will say again, these are all different opinions, just what exactly is it that Yirmiyahu HaNavi is lamenting in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. But interestingly enough, the common denominator is they all refer to most basic things, whether it's Ner for Shabbos, ultimately whether it's warm water to wash, Beis HaMerchatz, a clean bed, clean pajamas, a wife who's fit for a Talmid Chacham, who's able to adorn herself properly. These are all things that are missing in the absence of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tan Rabbanon, Samar here quotes an interesting braisa. Eizahu Ashir, who is rich? Kol sheyeshlo nachas rach ba'ashro. Anyone who has, this echoes the same sentiment as Pirkei Avos. Hasameach bechelko, anyone who has nachas rach, anyone who finds, we'll call it, Rashi says, nachas rach, sameach bechelko, im ma'at imrav. Anyone who finds nachas ruach really is inner tranquility. Anyone who finds inner tranquility with what he has, what the Gemara is saying over here is that wealth is not an objective idea. It's a relative measurement, right? That what's the definition of wealthy? Wealthy means you feel content with what it is that you have, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little. So, but the point the Gemara is making over here is you have to appreciate something, that Judaism does not despise wealth. Right? Judaism does not say that really, you know, you should eschew all material things. What Judaism, however, preaches is finding contentment in whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. So if God blessed you with a lot, wonderful, right? Zachisa. Just make sure that you find the contentment in that. And if He blessed you with a little, it's my job to be able to find the contentment in that also. Tan Rabban, Simin. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara gives a couple of other opinions as to what other people hold wealth is. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Kol sheyesh lo kuf kramim. What does it mean to be wealthy? If you have 100 vineyards, 100 fields, 100 servants, sha'ovdin bahen. So you have 100, right? You have 100 vineyards, 100 fields, and 100 servants who go work in them. So apparently what Rabbi Tarfon is saying is that the real definition of wealth is objective. Is objective. That if you ask people, what does it mean to be wealthy? Wealthy means to have a lot. Well, so you'll see the Marsha has a beautiful insight that we're not going to get into today. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol sheyesh lo isha noe b'masim. It's actually very beautiful. So it's good Sheva Brachas Vart. So Rabbi Akiva says, what does it mean to be wealthy? Anyone who has a wife of good deeds. A wife of good deeds, which is another way of saying, if you have a good wife, Baruch Hashem, if you have a good wife and you're happy in your marriage, happy in your home, ultimately, ain wealth gedola mizo. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol sheyesh lo beis hakisei samach l'shulchano. Rabbi Yossi says, okay, look, I'll say, you know what? You can't argue with the facts. You can't argue with the facts, right? If you have, if now, but see, I also have to appreciate something. Remember, don't use that as shabbat. Right. It was either you or a bathroom. I don't know if I went with you, right? Okay, so right. You know, see, you have to appreciate something. Remember, we spoke about this before. We spent so much time speaking about bathrooms in Maseches Brachos. So let's say, remember, we don't appreciate indoor plumbing like we should. But remember, having the concept of having access to clean facilities was a big to-do. So the Gemara says, you know what wealth is? So here, this Rabbi Yo says, you know what real wealth is? Real wealth is not having to worry about using the bathroom. not having to worry about, you know, it's freezing or it's hot, and you have to make the trek somewhere, that you have Beis HaKiseh Samach L'Shulchano, you have the ability to take care of your needs right next to your home, that's wealth. That's wealth. Tanya, so we'll say, let's just do a couple of more lines. So the Gemara here brings up an interesting idea, going back now to the candle lighting, Tanya, or to the oils fit for lighting. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Ein madlikim mitzori. You can't light with balsam oil. Three is balsam oil. My time, or what's the reason? Because there's one thing we know about balsam oil, is that it's exceptionally fragrant. So the concern is that because it's now, remember, balsam oil was also used for what? It was used for skin care. So there was a concern that because it's so fragrant, that what's going to happen? A person may come to actually take from some of the oil and smear it on them. Now remember, removing oil from a burning candle is a problem of kivui. Right, there's a problem of extinguishing. Even though you might not actually extinguish it right now, but removing the fuel from a burning candle is a problem. Mechaveh. So gzeir shem yistabik menu. Omali Abayi. Abayi says, top of chavav. Lei mamar mipnei shehu off. So the Gemara says, Abayi says, there's another reason with balsam. There's another problem with balsam. You know what the problem is? That apparently the flame jumps up. The flame jumps up. The flame, I guess, is not contained. It's very wild. So Rashi points out, shu'af literally means flies. Rashi says, v'nidbak, the co-slave. Because the Abayis, umadikas Abayis. So what Abayis is suggesting is there's actually a danger with balsam oil. The danger with balsam oil is the flame is a little bit uncontainable, and if one uses it like candles, chashom, one's whole house can go up in flames. So the Gemara says, you're right, chada va'ot ka'amar. What the Gemara is saying over here is two reasons, this reason and another reason. Chada mipnei shu'af, the primary reason we don't use balsam oil is because, again, the flame is somewhat uncontainable. The flame flies, and we're concerned that it could actually be a fire hazard. Va'od gzeira shemen yistapek mimenu. And there's another concern that because it's so fragrant, one may come to go ahead and use some of the oil on Shabbos, which could be a problem of extinguishing. So the Gemara ends off with the Maisa. Hahi chamasa, the havasaniya la lekalasa. There was once an episode of a mother-in-law who hated her daughter-in-law. Mamish despite, don't use this one at Shabbat Rabbah, by the way, right? Who hated her daughter-in-law. Amrullah, so the mother-in-law said to her daughter-in-law, Zil ikshut bimashcha da'farsima. Why don't you go ahead and I have some extra, right? I bought you a nice bottle of balsam oil. Why don't you go ahead and smear some on yourself? Azla, ikshut, she went ahead, the daughter-in-law, this Erev Shabbat, she did it. Ki asa amrullah, Zil ikli shraga. So after the daughter-in-law smeared herself with balsam oil, the mother-in-law said, oh, why don't you go ahead and light candles? Azla, itla shraga, infath banura va'achalta. So you can imagine, Nebuch, the daughter-in-law, Mama Shmir, with the balsam oil was flammable. And so she went ahead and she lit the fire, and she became totally consumed by, she lit the candles, and she became totally engulfed by the flames. Let's stop over here. All right.